Welcome to ENN Radio, a weekly podcast from Elon News Network that brings you the stories behind the stories. I'm Alex Hager. Thanks for joining us. Today, we're going to start things off with a look at Elon's next strategic plan, the outline for the school's mission over the next decade. ENN reporter Victoria Traxler talked with Stephen House, chair of the Long Range Planning Committee, and Jeff Stein, who's co-chair of the current planning committee, and she joins us now to talk about what she learned. Victoria, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what was your biggest takeaway from these conversations about the strategic plan?
I would say my biggest takeaway is that they're really looking for community input. They're going to have forums, they're going to talk to organizations, they're going to send out a survey in November. They really just want Elon students and faculty and anyone involved in the community to have a say in what goes into the next plan for the next decade.
And this is a plan that dictates a little bit of the school's mission from 2020 to 2030, but it's not the master plan. The master plan deals a little bit more with construction and how the campus will physically look. Can you tell me a little bit about the differences there?
So, yes. So, as you said, the master plan has to do more with what is Elon going to look like in the next 20 to 30 years, what buildings are going to be there. Shar Center was probably a part of that master plan. The strategic plan has to do more with curriculum-based things, community outreach, ELRs, and just overall improvements that Elon wants to make within itself.
So you talked to Stephen House, who's the chair of the Long Range Planning Committee, but he's also been at Elon for a long time and seen a lot of the changes over the past few decades. And what did he say he'd like to see in this next coming plan?
So Stephen House talked about wanting to see more residents, better residents, and have Elon students have to do some sort of community volunteer service, whether it's within Alamance County, Orange County, or Guilford County in order to graduate. Now, while these are things that he would like to see in 2030, it's up to the Strategic Planning Committee as to whether or not they're going to include them specifically in the plan or not.
So to put into context what the strategic plan actually impacts, let's talk about this past one. So that right now they're planning for the 2020 to 2030 plan, but how about 2010 to 2020? What were some of the goals of the last plan and how did they end up playing out?
So the 2010 to 2020 plan currently is 95.8% complete. And if you go onto Elon's website, the Office of the President, you can see how much has been completed and what's still in progress and what won't be completed. They were able to increase diversity in staff, which is one of their goals. They were able to have the Love School of Business become a top 50 business school. They grew the Odyssey program and created the SBDC. So those are just a few examples of things that they were able to accomplish. However, they were not able to have a top 100 law school or a Rhodes Scholar recipient, which are just only a couple goals that Elon will not be able to complete by the 2020 mark.
Well, I think that gives us a good look at what we might be able to expect for how this next plan will play out. Victoria, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
For our next story, we're going to be joined by ENN reporter Maya Eaglin, who took a look at the new, soon-to-be-opened McEwen Dining Hall, the long-anticipated opening of McEwen Dining Hall. Maya, thanks for joining us.
Long-anticipated. Thanks for having me.
Maya, they have finally announced the dates that that new dining hall will be opening, bringing more dining options to the historic neighborhood. When is it going to be open?
Right. So downstairs is going to be open October 25th, so right after we come back from fall break. But upstairs, where the Payway is with all the yummy Chinese food and the Village Juice Company, that's not going to be open until November 7th. So from some reporting we did earlier in this month, we know that a big pull for this new dining hall was having Payway and something completely different from all of the options that we had on campus. But that's not going to be open until November, which is a bit of a disappointment for some people.
Now, you got to go inside there and take a look at the new facilities. What did you see? Did it look ready to be open soon?
It did look ready. I would say it had that new scent of everything is brand new. They were still painting. They were putting up signs. It was a really interesting and special feeling because I'm like, this isn't something that everyone gets the chance to do. It's beautiful. I would almost argue it's extravagant for a dining hall on a college campus, but it doesn't surprise me because we're Elon and we always like to do extravagant things. The colors are really bright. There's a lot of natural space, and they use the space a lot more efficiently than before. The upstairs I didn't even recognize because the kitchens are pretty exposed, and that kind of opened up a lot of the walls that kept everything kind of blocked off before.
Now, students will be able to go inside and check out that shiny new facility in just a few days, but that is not to say that it has been a long time coming,
yeah,
because there have been some delays on this project. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, so this project is over a year overdue, and from what Casey Claflin told me, he's the manager of dining operations for Elon Dining, marketing operations, sorry. He said that they were a lot of things that were out of their control. So rain for weeks at a time, Hurricane Florence, which pushed them back, and I guess kind of messes up the foundation laying and structural settings of everything. Definitely the landscaping where they have to lay the brick. And it seems kind of crazy to think it took that long. But it seems like it was a lot of the natural elements pushing the date further back and back.
Well, real soon we will be able to see how that dining hall works and if all of those restaurants are everything they've been cracked up to be. So thank you for joining us, Maya.
Of course, thanks for having me.
Another weekend brings yet another round of Elon Phoenix football, and this Saturday is shaping up to be potentially the biggest game of the season so far. We're joined by ENN Sports Director Jack Haley to talk about that game this weekend, a showdown with the number two team in the country, JMU. Jack, thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit about why this might be the biggest game of the season?
Alex, thanks for having me. And yeah, this is one of the biggest games of the year for Elon just because of the implications, as you said. JMU is coming in not only as the number one team in the conference, but the number two team in the nation. This is a strong team. Last year, they won the CAA. 2 years ago before that, they won the national title. Elon has not beaten them since moving into the CAA. They've never beaten them. This is really going to show how Elon is going to play against some of the bigger teams in the country and how they are going to fare when this team hopefully is playoff bound when they move out of the CAA.
JMU is pretty dangerous, but it's worth mentioning Elon is also in the national top 10. They're a team that looks pretty good. Who's going to have to show up for the Phoenix to help them go toe-to-toe with the Dukes on Saturday?
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that Elon has figured out this year is their offense. That starts with their quarterback, sophomore Davis Cheek. He's been incredibly accurate. He's walking with a lot of confidence, playing with a lot of confidence, especially compared to last year where he was fighting for that starting job at this point in the season. It starts with him, and his favorite receiver is another guy to watch out for, sophomore Cortez Weeks. He's coming off a week with 14 catches for 165 yards. Big weekend for him. And also, two more things to look at is the offensive line. They were great last week, and they've been pretty good all season. They've been disciplined, not taking a lot of holding or false start penalties, and also giving Cheek a ton of time to really find his throw and make his throw. And also on the defensive side of the ball, Marcus Willoughby, the defensive lineman, is coming off a great week, 9 tackles, 4.5 for a loss. He has been a terror up front, and he's going to need to continue that trend if Elon has a chance.
And Elon is really going to have to fight hard to hang with the number two team in the country, but like you said, potentially a lot to learn about this Phoenix team that could be making a run that goes as far as the playoffs. That game is at 1:30 this Saturday up in Harrisonburg, and we'll wait to see how the Phoenix fare. Jack, thanks as always.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of ENN Radio. Thanks so much for listening. And make sure you stay tuned to elonnewsnetwork.com for all the news you need to know. You can check out our television broadcast, Elon Local News, Monday nights at 6. I'm Alex Hager. Have a great weekend. We'll be right back.